Happy National Day, Singapore! Today is the 9th of August and we celebrate our National Day. We are 55 years old, and over the last 55 years, we have seen how Singapore has grown from a small, tiny little fishing village to what it is today, a cosmopolitan city, a city that is rich and prosperous and successful. And we have many things to give thanks and be grateful for. We have a stable government, we have clean and safe streets, and we certainly have a very wealthy and educated population. I know for a certainty, growing up in Singapore, when I was still living in a kampung where we draw our water from a well, that we have gone a long way and we have indeed progressed and we have prospered. And I'm certainly grateful that today, as we celebrate National Day, I can give thanks to God for all that He has blessed us with. But yet, at the same time, we do know that we live in uncertain times. This is a time where many of us are perhaps anxious and concerned about what our future holds. We have a pandemic that is still raging on in many parts of the world. And I give thanks to God that we have a competent and capable government to help us to overcome this problem. And we have one of the lowest death rates in the world as well. Even though the world is limping along in this pandemic, we have job securities. We have the government giving us additional funds, close to $100 billion worth of funds to help businesses. And spiritually speaking, we too likewise need to be grateful for all that we have been given. And we need to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. We need to constantly give thanks to God for all that He has done. In fact, the Apostle Paul has reminded the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. He says what? Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, how can we continually give thanks and praise God and thank Him for all that He has given to us? And more importantly, why? Why should we have an attitude of gratitude? Even though we face uncertain future, even though there is a pandemic that's still raging on, even though we know that, yes, the economy is going down south, why should we still be grateful to God? Why should we still have an attitude of gratitude? And this is where we turn today our attention to a psalm. And for those of you who have been following us, even though you're not from Bethany EFC, I welcome you. And my name is Pastor Desmond. And I want you to know that we're going through a series on Psalms. And for our members, we know that we've gone through a number of Psalms. And today we're landing ourselves in Psalm 92. And Psalm 92 calls the people of God to worship God, to praise Him, to give thanks, to have an attitude of gratitude. In fact, the psalm begins with a title saying, A Psalm, A Song for the Sabbath. Now, titles are perhaps not inspired in the psalms, but it gives us a context, an idea of where or how the psalm is framed. And in this particular context, it says that this is a psalm to be sung out during Sabbath. And this is the only time of all the 150 psalms that we read that a title is designated to be sung during Sabbath. And the question for you and I here today is, what is it in this psalm that reminds the people of God some 2,500 years ago to sing to God, to praise God during Sabbath? And we know that Sabbath is an important day that God has set aside, because on the seventh day, God rested. And so this is a song that God is encouraging His people to sing to Him during our time of rest. And so the psalm begins by saying, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. The psalmist encourages the people of God to sing to God, to give thanks to God. And he gives us reasons throughout this whole psalm, three reasons why we should sing to God, why we should worship God during this day of rest, this Sabbath day. And he gives us reasons that you and I should also embrace today, even though we live in uncertain times, even though we do not know what tomorrow holds. And the very first reason why he gives us reasons to have thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude, a reason why we should praise God, to sing praises to Him. And the very first reason he gives to us is we must and we should be thankful to God for His steadfast love and His faithfulness. That is found in verses 1 to 3. Let me read for you verses 1 to 3 again. Verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to God, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Verse 3 says, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. The psalmist declares, this is an invitation. He comes forward and invites his people, and he invites you and I today to declare God's goodness, God's faithfulness, and God's steadfast love. He tells us that it is good. It is good to give thanks. It is good to sing praises. It is good to declare, to proclaim, and to proclaim what, you may be asking. Well, he tells us the why we should proclaim and declare all these things, to sing praises to God. He tells us of two attributes of God, two characters of God. The first thing he tells us is that we should declare and we should praise God for His steadfast love, His loving kindness in another translation, and in the original language, His hesed love. And this love is a covenantal love. This is a love that He promised to His people of Israel, and He continues to promise to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can see that His steadfast loving kindness is not because of how good we are, because in the psalm itself, the psalmist never declares how wonderful he is or how what good deeds he has done for God, but it's always centered on God's initiating love, that love that continues to hold on to us in spite of our sinfulness, in spite of the fact that we don't feel like praising God, in spite of the fact that you and I do not think of God 24/7, 365. And this love is not only just steadfast, but we can also praise God and thank God for what? For His faithfulness. His faithfulness has the idea that He never changes. He's not a God who sometimes will love you for all that you've done because you praise Him. He loves you and continues to love you because of who He is. He is faithful. He keeps to His promises. And we know that He has promised to love us even to the end of the age, in spite of our sinfulness, when we establish our relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, when we have a right relationship with Him. And so therefore, as you think about the whys, why should we be thankful? Why should we have a posture of gratitude? Why should we praise God? The psalmist tells us, remember, and he invites, the psalmist invites us, remember how God has been faithful to you, how God has been always steadfastly, steadily loving you, in spite of the fact that you and I do not love Him all the time. God initiates that love relationship. He initiates that love relationship because He first loved us. As I think about God's faithfulness, as I meditate on how He has constantly provided for me and for my wife, Wendy, I can't help but declare praises to Him, like the psalmist, to sing to Him. When I think of how He has chosen me to be His child, to save me from the clutches of sin, when I thought about all the sinful things that I've done in the past, and yet He's willing to send His only Son to die for my sins, I can't help but say that, thank you, God. Thank you that I don't have to continually depend on my own strength, that I don't have to pretend to be somebody that I'm not, that I don't have to put on a mask to be a hypocrite. It was out of that gratitude that I can tell God, thank you. And let me share with you one thing that I am constantly thankful for, and that is God's provision, His faithful provision for my needs, for my wife's needs. We may not have abundance, but I can testify to you that there's not a day that I go hungry or that I'm in constant need for my next meal. For that, I'm thankful. When I first came back from Indonesia some 8 years ago, no, I didn't have a place to stay. And for 2 years, I was moving from house to house. And I can tell you that God has provided even my place here right now in this apartment. He has graciously and miraculously provided far more than what I could possibly hope for, ask for, or even imagine. Because God is faithful. His steadfast love endures forever. And over that two and a half years living off a suitcase, you know, first I lived with my sister and her teenage daughters for a year. A friend of mine and the family, he passed on, and the family was so gracious to offer his flat to me, a small flat in Telok Blangah, and I stayed there for about 3.5 months. But then that flat was returned back to the HDB, to the government. And so we were asking 3 days before that, where are we going to move? Where are we going to have a roof over our head? And God miraculously, you know, within 3 days, that He, out of the blue, someone in my church again asked me, hey, Desmond, do you need to stay? I heard that you're moving around. Do you want to stay in a place? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And so therefore, this friend of mine from church again offered his mother's place. His mother also passed away during that time. And they were trying to sell off her bungalow in Robin Walk. And at that time, I was thinking, God, you have a sense of humor. You know, I live in a 30 square meter place, and now all of a sudden, I have an 8,000-9,000 square feet bungalow, in a good class bungalow in the middle of a town. And I said, wow, no, God, thank you. And I stayed there thinking, now, because he was trying to sell the place for a long time, I thought I can stay there for a bit longer. And all of a sudden, within 3 months, you know, 3.5 months or so, again, that place was sold during a period where, you know, people were wondering, how can they sell a place like this? And God again provided this time round. And for a whole semester, you know, my principal at the time, Dr. Albertine, was very gracious. He said, Desmond, I think you need a place to stay. And SBC happened to have a place. You can move in even though you're a Singaporean. And I said, thank you, God. And this was again about 3-4 days before I had to move out of the place. So I was so grateful, and I stayed in SBC and for a whole semester, and I really enjoyed myself. My wife and I, you know, really enjoy ourselves, and we don't have to wake up early morning to rush to school. And God is so fair. You know, throughout this whole time, it was exactly about two years plus or so. And then my flat came and my apartment came, and finally I'm able to move into this lovely place that God has provided. You see, as I think about all the provision that God has given, I can tell you that God is faithful. He continues to provide. His steadfast love endures forever. And which is why I can declare praises to Him day and night like the psalmist. I can testify that God provides. Now, I want to be careful here as well. Does it mean that God always provides? No. God may not provide according to what we want, but according to His character, to His will, and according to His perfect plan. And His timing is always perfect. And some of us may be struggling right now. Maybe some of us are concerned about losing our job and how can we continue to have sufficient to put food on the table. I don't want to minimize on some of that concerns, the anxiety that you have. But let me testify for you. The reason why we can have an attitude of gratitude, the reason why we can have a posture is not so much as our circumstances, but because of who God is. That He never fails. Just as He has never failed Israel, He has never failed in His covenantal promises, He continues to supply for my needs because His steadfast love, because of His faithfulness. So the very first reason why we can be thankful to God is because of His steadfast love and His faithfulness, because of who He is. Then the psalmist moves on to the second part. The second part is found in verses 4 to 9. And the second reason why we can be thankful, the second reason why we can have a posture of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, is because of His salvation, His saving grace, His protection over you and I. We are thankful to God for His salvation. That means His works. And you read that in verses 4 to 5. Let me read for you verses 4 to 5. It says, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great," verse 5, "how great are your works, O Lord." Notice here that the word work or works repeats itself three times in just two verses. And there's a reason why the psalmist reminds his people of God's works. And what exactly did God do for the people of God? And this is where we find in verses 6 all the way to verses 9, two things that he declares, two reasons again why we can declare and sing praises to God. The first will be the wisdom that He has through His works. And the second is the winning over of our enemies and His enemies. The first thing will be the wisdom of His works. Notice here, verse 5b says, "Your thoughts are very deep." Your thoughts are very deep. That means your way, your wisdom is profound. It's beyond our human grasp. So therefore, the first thing about His works is His wisdom. Sometimes we don't understand why God allows certain things to happen, right? And so because of that, we begin to doubt His goodness, His faithfulness, His steadfast love. We begin to question whether God is even there for us. And the psalmist reminds us that sometimes God's wisdoms are not our wisdom. His ways are not our ways. And which is why when we think of the totality of God's works, and which is why it's repeated three times, think of His works, think of His works, think of His words, meditate on those things. Then we realize that if we were only to focus on our circumstances right now, say, for example, losing our job, our broken relationships, our failing health. We didn't realize that if we see the totality, the whole broad spectrum of our entire lives, that He's given us, for example, good health and strength all the days of our lives until we suddenly have an illness right now. Then we will begin to realize, you know what? God has always been good to us. And that leads us to praising Him, to thanking Him. Let me share with you another experience that I had many years ago. While I was still in the mission field in Indonesia, you know, I was suffering from gastritis and pains and aches, and I was living in a very stressful situation, and my ministry was really stressful. And that inevitably led to some breakdown in my health, my physical health. And one fine day, I realized I was having constant fever and pains and severe pains. And one fine night, I woke up in such great pain that I had to bawl over, and I didn't know what was happening to me. And so during that time, I really struggled. And to cut a long story short, I went to see a local doctor, and he said that, oh, when he did a scan on me, he said, oh, there were shades in the scan. And he said that, oh, that could possibly be cancer. And immediately I said, oh, wow, whoa. You know, I said, I need a second opinion. And when I was in Indonesia, I said, maybe I should go back to Singapore for a second opinion. And immediately I called one of my friends, a doctor friend from my church, and he said, let me arrange for you. And within 24 hours, I was back in Singapore. And during that short period of time, I was wrestling with God. I never did, you know, thank God for even that circumstance. I could only see my problem and my immediate problem, and that's the pain, the fever, you know, that I was suffering from. And it ended up being my gallbladder was badly infected. I gallbladder stones, it was moving, I was creating a lot of pain. And within 36 hours, I had a surgery from flying from Indonesia, from Jakarta to Singapore. Within 36 hours, I had a very successful surgery to remove my entire gallbladder, which is why I'm gallless, 没有胆, you know. So if you know what that means. But throughout this whole process, I was grumpy. I was even questioning God's goodness because I could only see my immediate pain, my immediate circumstance. And it was during this time that a very wise pastor from Indonesia, when I asked him, you know, said, I don't know why God brought me out of action. At the time, the school that I was involved with was thriving. I was on a roll. Things were happening for me. And all of a sudden, all these things was taken away from me. And I asked God, why? Why do you allow this to happen? This was over 10 years ago. And the wise pastor simply said to me, have you thanked God for bringing you out to Singapore for this surgery at such a short period of time? And instead of asking why did this thing happen, what is God teaching you? And then suddenly caused me to pause and said, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I've been so ungrateful. I didn't have a posture of thankfulness. In fact, I was grumpy. I was blaming God. I was saying that, I have so much work to do. God was sending that surgery, that removal of my gallbladder, in order to ask me to slow down. Slow down, Desmond. You're working too hard. You're breaking down. And you're depending on your own strength, your own talents, rather than God's timing and talents, that He has, the gifts that He has given to me. And so therefore, I was basing it out of my own strength, and God had to stop me, literally on my tracks, to take an extended period of rest before I could go back to work again. And I can see that pattern again and again happening to me. So whenever God, you know, when something happens to me, I have to pause and I have to tell myself, what is God teaching me right now? And the first thing I need to be grateful for, I need to thank God for, is for His works. What is His wisdom in making me go through that period of testing, that period of trial, that period of tribulation, in order for me to learn something from Him? So that, let me testify to you, let me declare to you that God's wisdom, His works, is far higher than what we could immediately see. And that's only the first part of what the psalmist says about his works. As we consider the totality, I realize that God has given me good health all these years. He has given me success in ministry. And now I'm becoming more and more isolated and not seeing that it is his ministry and not my ministry. And therefore, I have to pause and give thanks to God. Same way for you. We need to consider his wisdom in his works. That's the first thing that we need to be thankful for, his wisdom. The second thing is his winning over the enemies. Let me read for you verse 6. He says, "The stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evil doers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever." And verse 9 continues, "For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish, and all evildoers shall be scattered." And in God's infinite wisdom, he knows what is the outcome, the final outcome of these people. But in our finite, limited vision, and we don't have prophetic vision and foresight, we often see the wicked, the evildoers, those people are flourishing. They seem to be prospering. They seem to be like grass, right, everywhere. And we lament, why God, why is all these evildoers continuing on in their evil deeds? And this is where we need to consider God's works, that God is saving us through his wisdom. He will win one day, someday. It's just that we don't see the long-term plans of God, his works, and which is why we can only see our immediate needs, our immediate distance. And here, the psalmist reminds them, the stupid man cannot know, the fool cannot understand, that even though they may be flourishing, they may be prospering, they are, like in another psalm, someone said, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. They are doomed to destruction forever. And in fact, they will perish, they'll be scattered. And this is where we come to the center of this psalm, Psalm 8. I deliberately miss reading Psalm 8 because at the center of this psalm, this is where we get the central statement here. It says, "But you," notice the contrast here, "but you, O Lord, are on high forever." And this is where we see God being enthroned on high in verse 8, the centerpiece of this entire psalm, the meeting point. In the entire structure, we see that verse 8, "but you," the contrast, "but you, O Lord, are on high forever." Verse 1, we already read that God is called the Most High. And in verse 15, we know that God is upright. He's on high. And this is where we need to, again, take a step back and realize that God is working. God is in the midst of all that he's doing. He is in control. And because he's in control, his works and his ways are never our ways. We can therefore rest in him. We can rest in his wisdom because we read that verse 5 says his thoughts are so deep that we cannot possibly fathom the ultimate plan of God. And we know that one day, someday, God will win. And we can meditate and be assured of the fact that he will win over his enemies. And this is where we can, when we consider all these things, we can pause and we can give thanks to God because of his steadfast love and because of his salvation, of his works. We can declare that. The psalmist begins by telling us and inviting us into meditating on who God is. And now he's asking us to meditate on God's works. He begins by telling us the first reason that we can be thankful to God for his steadfast love and his faithfulness. And then the second reason is we can be thankful to God for his salvation. Now, is there anything else that we can be thankful for? I think as we think about all these two things, it's already so much that we can be thankful for, right? As you think of all the works that He has done, His wisdom, His faithfulness, we can list on and on and on. But He continues to give us another reason, the third reason that we can be thankful for, the third reason why we can have an attitude of gratitude. The third reason why we can be thankful for God or to God is for His sustenance. Again, first for His steadfast love, secondly for His salvation, and lastly for His sustenance, for supplying for our daily needs. This is a consolation for you and I. This is a way to remind us that God is still in control of our lives. And we read that in verses 10 all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse 15. Let me read for you verse 10. Verse 10 says, "But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants." Verse 12, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him." The psalmist tells us the third reason why we can be thankful. And the reason is because God sustains us. He gives us imageries, pictures for us to think about. He invites His listeners to remember who God is. He provides a few imageries for us. The first two sets of imageries that He gives to us is the horn, the bull's horn, and oil. Now, you need to know a bit of a cultural context. The horn itself always paints an imagery of God's protection and God's provision and God's victory. We read that, in fact, in Hannah, for example, when she found out that God will bless her with a child, she declares that no, that God is the one who gives her that victory. And we read that in 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let me turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. "And Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn,'" see, "'my horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation.'" So the idea of the horn is the idea of victory, overcoming the enemies, the victory over even your shame of childlessness in Hannah's context. So therefore, when the psalmist says, "You have exalted my horn," it means you have exalted me to a higher position. That's the first imagery that he paints for us. But the second imagery is even more symbolic. He says, "You poured fine oil over me." And this idea of fine oil is the idea of refreshment, the idea of contentment, the idea of satisfaction, the idea of joy. You see, in a dry and arid land like in Israel, in a desert land, you do need water, but oil is even more nurturing and sustaining. The water can just evaporate, but oil stays in the skin. And so when Aaron says the oil overflows him and to his beard, it tells us the idea of God's blessing, anointing from head with oil, signifying joy, signifying contentment, signifying satisfaction. And this is the first set, two couplets of imageries. The second set is the imagery of trees. And not just any trees, but two particular trees. One is a tree that flourishes in very trying times. The first one would be the palm tree. The second would be the cedar of Lebanon. Both are imageries that talks about permanence, about stability, and about fruitfulness. The first will be the palm tree is flourishing, is bearing fruit, in contrast to verse 7. If you look at the tree, it is permanent, whereas the weeds, the grass in verse 7 is impermanent. It is temporal. And then again, the cedars of Lebanon is strong. The temple, in fact, was built out of the cedars of Lebanon. They're huge, tall trees going many tens of meters high. And in fact, this is what the psalmist is declaring, that we, when we are thinking and meditating on God's goodness to us, we can be thankful because immediately the imagery of permanence, stability, strength is there. The first set of imageries is the horn and the oil. The second set of imagery is the palm tree and the cedars. This talks about permanence and blessing and fruitfulness. In fact, that fruitfulness is not only just now, but even last till the old age, as evidenced in verse 14. Verse 14 says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. It's like a tree planted in someone, like streams of living water that bears much fruit in due season, right? And in this case, this is a tree that is 24/7, 365, forever fruitful, even to old age. And why? Why is this possible? And this is where I don't want us to miss this very important verse found in verse 13. The reason why they can be fruitful, the reason why they can be stable, the reason why they can be flourishing is because they are planted, verse 13, in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of God. Therefore, suggesting to us that God is the gardener, the farmer, the one who plants us, and there's no other garden than the garden that God tends, right? That is the best garden ever, the most beautiful, the most fruitful garden, most well taken care of. Why? Because this is the God who created the heavens and the earth. And if God is the gardener and we are in the best grounds, how much more for those who are outside this garden? I'm sure you would have an imagery of even the Garden of Eden. And this is intentional. The psalmist is painting for us. And as the psalmist sings out this song, the people of Israel, when they hear this, they will begin to remember even the Garden of Eden. How good it is to go back to that original state where there's no sin. And they realize right now that God is the one who is sustaining them in spite of the fact that they are sinful. And so therefore, when they think about God, they can't help but meditate and give thanks and to be thankful and swell in their hearts, and out of their hearts, they can, through their lips, declare that God, you are good, you're faithful, you're just. And which is why verse 15 ends almost exactly the same way as in verse 1. Verse 1 calls people and invites people to say, it is good to give thanks to what? The Lord, right? It's good to give thanks to God, to the Most High. And verse 15 reminds them again to declare with their lips, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, my ownership, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Why should we give thanks to God? Why should we give thanks to him even though we're living in very desperate times, in difficult times, in dangerous times? We can give thanks to God because, firstly, of his steadfast love and his faithfulness. We can give thanks to God, secondly, because he is the God who saves, because of his salvation. And finally, we can give thanks to God because of his sustenance, that he continues to provide for you and I. Like a tree, like a cedar tree, like a palm tree, the best fruit, and our sap is ever there and our leaves will always be green, as contrasted to the enemies of God, the foolish men, the stupid men, the brutish men. They're like grass. They're not permanent. So therefore, I've given you three reasons why we should give thanks to God. Why don't we do that right now? If you want, perhaps God is prompting you to remember all the things that He has done for you. And perhaps you're even thinking of how God has saved you from your sins and delivered you and changed you and transformed you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, the new has come. And so therefore, when we think about that, the ultimate gift that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, we can give thanks to God because God is good. We can have an attitude of gratitude. So if you need more time, may I suggest to you that you can pause this video, pause this YouTube, and then think about all these things that God has given to you and ultimately His salvation that He's offered to you through Jesus Christ. And spend some time to praise Him. How do we do that? We can certainly do that with songs. And this is where He says, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre. We don't have those instruments with us, but later on, after this sermon, the worship leader will lead us in a song of response. And as we sing that song of response, may I encourage you to sing it with all of your hearts. Because why? We can have an attitude of gratitude because God is steadfast in His love, because God has saved us because of His salvation, and finally, because He has sustained us through all this time. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.